Hits from 51, but it doesn't count. He's going to have to do it again.
He sure is, and he sure nailed that one. It was a perfect snap and hold, and he drilled it.
This to send the Packers into the NFC Championship game. It is good! The Packers are moving on! Aaron Rodgers has done it again! And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay.
Jake, I'm crying tears of joy right now.
So am I. The most happy tears of joy.
Near, far, wherever you are, Mason Crosby will make a game-winning field goal and end the Wonder Kids season. Sorry, Dak and Ezekiel. You know, you'll have years down the road. You just met a red, stinking hot Packer team. Oh, it was beautiful. I'm the Packer noob, Andy.
I'm Jake, the Packer veteran, and that, you know, that Celine Dion video, I mean, it's one of those videos that totally justify the internet. It's the internet living up to its full potential, I would say.
It's why the internet was created, for Celine Dion to be put over Mason Crosby
beating the Cowboys,
getting that game-winning kick, and the slow motion of the bench, just like that shot is one of the best shots in live TV I've ever seen. It was just, I was at a house, we were watching it a little delayed, so we went back and rewound it. We watched it four times, and there's so much to see. If you go back there, the first thing that I saw was Mason Crosby, of course, in the foreground getting, you know, engulfed by lion.
Yep.
But then if you look in the background, you see Clay Matthews, just like with his hands straight in the air, standing on the bench. And then next to him is, I think it was Bryce, but I'm not quite sure, was turned around and was like making the orchestra like hands at the like silent Cowboy fans in the background. And then of course everyone else is like slowly running out. It's a great, great shot.
That's fantastic. Now for those of you, I suppose we should clarify this early, if you don't know what we're talking about, there was a video, there's actually a Facebook page, or I don't know if they're a company, but there's a Facebook page called Selena Scene. And this person basically takes like dramatic moments that happen in sports, or there was one for the President Obama's farewell speech as well, where they basically just play like the really euphoric part of My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. They put it over like dramatic moments in life, and it makes them all better. And they did one right away. It came out like a couple hours after the game was over last night. They did one for Crosby making the game-winning kick, and it is truly a work of art. So if you haven't seen it, go look that up. I don't know what we're talking about, but it was fantastic. That was the audio from the clip, is what you just heard, leading us into this week's episode.
Right. Which it is. It's the live broadcast, you know, with Celine Dion in the background. So
Right. Some
of you might have seen that on TV without that, but it is a great video. Go look it up. But Jake, eight straight, baby.
Eight straight. You know, I know when Rodgers said run the table, he was only talking about the regular season, but
that's not what he was talking about. He was like, Super Bowl, you know, whatever. I don't care. 4-6? No, Super Bowl.
Well, either way, we've done two better than the regular season run the table at this point. And so now the Packers, after that dramatic, excellent game, really the best playoff game so far this year in terms of, you know, being a close game and stakes and all that good stuff. We'll move on, and they will play the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC Championship game next week.
You're right. I mean, there was some downtimes in this game, but the Cowboys are a good team. They're going to get some stuff on you, but they just played a great game, the Packers did. This is the game that gives you confidence going into a game like we're going to have to face next week. But even just generally, you finally saw this team just fully formed, even on some weaknesses we have on the defensive side, whatever. Overall, this is just a great game.
Yeah, it was a great game played by both teams, really. I mean, the Packers started out very fast. For a while, I was thinking, oh, man, let's, you know, maybe this will be like the Seattle game part two. We'll just blow them out and, you know, prove to everybody how good we are. But, you know, the Cowboys turned it around. They basically, I've heard it said a couple times now, the Packers won the first half, the Cowboys won the second half, and but it all came down to the last three drives. You know, three 50-yard field goals in the last two or so minutes, and actually four, because Crosby had to kick the last one twice thanks to the freeze timeout called by Jason Garrett. But really just an incredible game, instant classic. But luckily, you know, and I would say that even if the Packers had lost, I mean, that's really one of the all-time great games that I've seen. But it's especially nice when your team wins. But, yeah, on to Atlanta. But let's – before we get to the Falcons, which don't worry, we'll talk about them. Let's break down this game, Andy. So, the like we said, the offense started fast. I mean, it was 21-3 at one point. I thought the route was on. Well, I shouldn't say that. I was still like, this is a playoff game. Dallas is – you know, they're the number one seed for a reason. They have all the potential to come back. Our defense is hurting. And they did, you know, kind of got their act together in the second half there. And keep in mind, that 21-3 start, again, that was without Jordy Nelson. That was a big talking point. You know, would he play? And then on Friday,
yeah, whole game without Jordy.
Yeah, you know, on Friday, McCarthy did say, yeah, Jordy's not going to play because apparently there was no chance he was going to practice on Saturday. So they basically knew he was out well in advance. But really, it didn't matter. I mean, Rodgers still had, you know, like we said last week, at least, you know, we both thought that based on what they did against the Giants, that Rodgers had enough weapons to compensate for the lack of his number one target. And he did. He hit, you know, Cook had his best game as a Packer. Cobb had a big game. Jarmo Allison had some timely catches. Ty Montgomery had a couple nice screen passes that he converted for some big yards at key times. It was really impressive to watch, especially, again, going back to where this offense was, you know, back mid-November, just to see this kind of performance against not a great defense with Dallas, but still a pretty good defense. Just to see them produce like that was a sight to behold, especially with the stakes of this game, what was on the line.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought Joe Buck had a great analogy. He said, you know, when you're the winner coming into the divisional round, you have that advantage at the beginning. It's basically for the other team like, you know, going out of their driveway onto the Autobahn. They're just not up to speed. You know, everything's just not the same as the Packers' intensity. And the Packers took advantage of that, which some other teams didn't. The Steelers took advantage, but then the other two divisional teams did not on Saturday. That was key to this game, getting that ball rolling. Because Dallas, as they showed, was eventually, like you said, going to get on a roll. It's a playoff game. But the Packers put enough on that first half to eventually squeak by in the end.
Yeah, they did. It was interesting. Like I said, I was watching a bunch of, you know, post-game reaction stuff earlier today. And one of the things I was watching was on Colin Cowherd's show, The Herd, which I don't know, Andy, particularly how you feel about him. I mean, he's an outspoken sports personality. I know a lot of people think he's, you know, the worst. I just kind of like to listen to a bunch of different opinions when things like this happen. Like I watched, you know, part of I definitely turned into Skip and Shannon's show, Undisputed, because we all know how big of a Cowboy fan Skip is. But I can talk more about that later. But anyway, one of the things Colin Cowherd said was before the game, or actually in his when he did like a preview of the game, he said that he was concerned about Dallas in the first half because the way he put it is the Cowboys hadn't played a meaningful pressure game in months. And the Packers have basically been doing that since Run the Table started in mid-November. The end of November, because that was after Thanksgiving. And so he thought he actually said he thought that the Packers were going to come out and play really well in the first half, and he was worried that the Cowboys would be not asleep, but, you know, definitely not have the urgency that the Packers have been playing with. And that rang true. You know, whatever you think about Colin Cowherd in general, he was right. That definitely was pretty much what happened in the first half. But, you know, once the Cowboys kind of collected their wits about them in the second half, that's when the game, you know, really turned into the instant classic that it will be remembered as. But, yeah, I mean, the Packers, like you said, the Packers have been in playoff mode for a long time now, and they just keep on rolling.
Yeah, I mean, without question, that first half was all Packers, and you could tell Aaron had lost none of the momentum that he had started with. But, of course, all good things must come to an end, and it came to an end, at least I think for most of us, a little too soon with a really sluggish parts of the second half and the second quarter even. Maybe not sluggish is the right word, but I mean the Cowboys started getting in their groove.
Yeah, Rodgers, you know, he definitely, after the third touchdown, the second that was run in by Ty Montgomery, definitely had some not-so-great drives there in the second quarter. Let's count the Cowboys get back into it. So basically, the score at halftime was 21-13, so they were able to score 10 points and kind of, you know, make it a one-score game. And, of course, the Packers, you know, kind of seemed like they righted the ship, came out, you know, first drive of the second half, went down and scored to increase the lead back to 15 points. But, yeah, definitely Rodgers kind of fell off a little bit. Really, you know, we've talked, or people have been talking since Run the Table, since that whole thing started. You know, coming into this game, he had thrown 19 touchdowns and no picks. Well, he finally threw an interception in this game, and it was pretty costly. I want to talk about that play because I don't know what you thought about it, but on the play itself.
Curious what you thought, what he was thinking on this.
Yeah, now here's what, because basically, if you go back and watch the replay, it looks he's trying to throw it to Davante Adams on the right side of the field, and Adams looks like he's got his own cornerback. The guy who's trying to cover him beat by a couple steps. I mean, he's got pretty good separation, but Rodgers looks like he throws it more towards the middle of the field and short of where Adams actually was. Now my guess is that was probably the intended route that was called in the huddle. My guess is it was either that or that was where Rodgers expected Adams to kind of break off his route in front of the safety, which Adams apparently decided to take it up the sideline, which really, if Rodgers would have thrown that deep down the sideline, I think he's got Adams wide open for a touchdown. Yeah.
Which might have put the game to bed.
Really, yeah. I mean, that might have been a backbreaker at that time for the Cowboys, coming off that, you know, Micah Hyde interception, which, by the way, that was a fantastic play. It was like one of those things where as soon as it snapped, Micah Hyde knew what was happening. Apparently, well, I was reading post-game stuff, and apparently both he and Ladarius Gunter both knew what was going to happen. And they were kind of talking because they were both lined up next to each other because, you know, Gunter was on Dez and then Micah Hyde was on Beasley for that play. But he said that Gunter told him to go for it. And so he did. And Dak basically threw it right to him. But yeah, so, if Rodgers hits Adams down the sideline, that's a touchdown. But instead, it turns into a pick. And, you know, basically, whereas if that's a touchdown, I mean, really, then at that point, it's 35-13. Assuming they make the extra point and assuming that was a touchdown, and it's really, you know, kind of out of hand from there. But who knows, you know, we don't know how the game would have turned out from them. Maybe Dallas still would have come back, but definitely would have been very different if the Packers had been able to score at that point in the game. So that was kind of a costly pick, and really it was frustrating from a fan point of view because, you know, it's easy to say as a fan, say, well, why didn't he just, you know, see that Adams was open down the sideline and throw it to him in the end zone when, you know, we don't know what point. I guess it's hard to see what Rodgers saw at the point when he threw the ball. You know, is Adams still like in front of his defender? It's kind of hard to piece those together to know exactly what Rodgers saw when he passed it. I guess he thought Adams was going to, you know, break off his route and come more towards the middle of the field. So that's where he threw it. And it ended up being which it was a great pick by the free safety. I mean, he had to make a kind of a diving catch, which was nice. A good play by him. I have to give him that. Yeah. Really kind of a turning point. A lot of the Cowboys kind of start their second half rally.
It was bizarre. It when you were watching that play, it looked bizarre because it just looked like he was throwing it away, but for some reason he was throwing it right to a defensive back. And then you're right, when you see the replay, you see it was just a mix-up of routes. Either the play was different or they're trying to read each other, with the Packers do a lot. It was an option route, lots of possibilities, but whatever happened, like you said, big turn of momentum. Dak starts connecting with Dez Bryant, specifically on one drive that got a real quick touchdown, and then it felt like the game had actually started.
Yeah, well, that real quick touchdown, that was in the second quarter after the Packers had scored to go up 23-3. That next drive, I think they scored in like four plays, and two of them were like 20-yard passes to Bryant, and then he got behind Gunter on the touchdown play, which I think was a 40-some yarder. Yeah, it was exactly 40 yards from Prescott. But yeah, so that interception seemed like it was kind of like, oh no, he finally threw a pick. Like, is this where, I guess at that point I wasn't worried about the game unraveling, so to speak, but it was still kind of like, oh no, all this time we haven't done that. And now we do, you know, you don't know how it's going to change the dynamic on the field or the mentality of what the Packers have been doing. But the other thing I really want to talk about, and especially with this whole run the table thing, is, you know, Jared Cook, the tight end that basically the one big free agent signing the Packers had this offseason, you know, signed to a one-year deal because he's, you know, a big, fast tight end who we really haven't had since JerMichael Finley had to, you know, basically cut his career short with a neck injury. But he came through big time. You know, he had six catches for 104 yards and that touchdown to open the second half on the opening drive there. But really, not only did he come up big last time, he was really kind of the catalyst of the whole run the table thing. Because if you go back and look at that comment when Rodgers says that, one of the things he says immediately thereafter is that he feels like the offense is getting into a rhythm and that they're starting to, you know, get more open and hit the big play, which, of course, that was during the Redskins game where they lost 42-24. But you'll note that that was the first game that Cook played in after being injured against the Lions in Week 3. And I read some stat. Somebody said that Rodgers When you go look at the games that Cook has played in this season versus the games Cook hasn't played, Rodgers' like rate of throwing touchdowns is double in games where Cook has played. I really think it's a factor of, you know, him being able to stretch the middle of the field. Guys can get more open because I think maybe for the large part they were kind of ignoring Richard Rodgers earlier this season, or at least not as worried about him or something. But whatever it is, I mean, Cook has had a huge impact on this season, and you know, well, especially last night, you know, with the touchdown and of course with the now legendary toe drag to set up the field goal. Really, he
gorgeous.
He all the potential that we thought he could have in this offense came to fruition last night. It was quite a sight to behold.
It was beautiful. Yeah, I can't say more. Let's talk about these receivers. Jordy is out. Great game overall. I mean, it didn't even feel like, Jordy was out of the game. I'm just going to say it. I wanted to hesitate, but didn't seem to miss a beat wide receiving core-wise. And a big part of that is, like you said, Cook opening up the middle of the field, guys like Cobb and even Geronimo Allison really working, especially when the play breaks down. I thought that one particular scramble, I remember Rodgers is forced out to the right, and then he throws it to a wide-open Geronimo Allison, who had to make a tough catch, kind of, you know, fell on the ground and then got up and keeps going. Stuff like that seemed to happen all night long.
Yeah, the one that you're talking about, that led to the second rushing touchdown for Montgomery. And, yeah, Rodgers ran to his right, and then he threw it, and, you know, they showed there was a camera that was following Geronimo that entire time. And basically he ran past the first linebacker. I think Dallas was playing zone. And he was open the entire time. I don't know if Rodgers didn't see him at first. He did pump fake once, which made me think he wanted to hit him. But I don't know if if the linebacker was watching him, or if that maybe somebody got in the passing lane at that time, so he didn't throw it. But he was wide open. And again, it kind of goes back to earlier this year. We talked a lot about how, you know, in years past, when Rodgers would scramble and have more time to throw, you kind of assume that, oh, he'll find somebody and make a big play, and that expectation, you know, really since the bye week last year, it kind of gone away, and now it was more like, oh, if he's running around, he's not going to find anybody, because that seemed to be what was happening. But that feeling is back now when Rodgers scrambles and has more time. I am fully in my head, at least, I'm fully confident that he is going to make something happen, which again, this has been a big part of this run.
Yeah, there was one play I think it was Joe Buck again who like he yelled, he's flush from the pocket, that's the way he likes it, and then sure enough he like completes it. I think it was the third down.
Yeah, he drilled a pass to Cook, yeah, who actually was, it was a pretty tight coverage, but Cook made another great catch. I thought that was a pretty apt call, because I think Rodgers, you know, well, someone broke down the stats, and when he was outside the pocket, I think he only threw like two or three incomplete passes and had most of his yards and, you know, a couple of touchdowns. And yeah, so it was all very impressive to see the receivers again step up for Jordy. Now, as far as him playing on Sunday against Atlanta, still don't really have much information on that. McCarthy said, of course, they'll evaluate him. But Jordy basically said, you know, it's not guaranteed, but, you know, he said he would do everything in his power to play, which, of course, you know, he's going to say that. So hopefully he can play. But honestly, even if he can't, the Falcons' pass defense is not that great. It's certainly worse than Dallas's is. So even if he can't go,
I mean, they weren't stopping us pre-Cook days, so I think they're going to have a real trouble in this game.
Right, and that's the thing is, you know, the Packers didn't have Cook when they first played the Cowboys. They didn't have Cook when they first played Atlanta either, and only lost that game by a point. So that'll definitely be interesting to see how that plays into the game. And if they can get Jordy back and be at full strength, at least on the receiving side of the ball, that could be something to watch.
My personal opinion is I don't think Jordy is going to play again till the Super Bowl, if we make it there. I'm just guessing, again, he can probably pay, but it's going to be the play through pain kind of thing. And I just don't think we need him to do that at this point. I think it'll be actually hurtful to the offense to have a receiver out there playing through pain when we have several good, you know, not as good, but we're working together as a team against not a great defense. I would sit him. Maybe, you know, maybe he dresses just to kind of make Atlanta think. But if I'm the Packers, I'm not rushing him back.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that we're talking about this now because, you know, prior to the playoffs, there was kind of that same issue with, Randall Cobb got hurt during the Seahawks game. And then, you know, did play in the game against the Bears, but wasn't even targeted. And then didn't play against the Vikings or the Lions. And when he came back for the playoffs against the Giants, and in that time, you know, Geronimo Allison really kind of stepped up in his place. And there was a lot of talk in Packer Nation about, well, why don't we bring Cobb back? You know, let's let Geronimo keep on doing his thing. And they asked Rodgers about that and McCarthy, and they both said, well, that's, you know, I mean, don't get us wrong, Geronimo's playing great, but you know, this offense is better when Randall Cobb is in there. It's a little different because I'm sure if they do decide to play Jordy, if Jordy's able to play, he probably won't be 100%, whereas they basically said Cobb was fully healthy when they brought him back. So there's a difference there, but they're saying that, you know, Cobb is, you know, the offense is better when Cobb was in, and they went out and proved it when Cobb had 3 touchdowns against New York. But, yeah, so it's a little bit of a similar situation. Like, do you rush to bring him back when, you know, we have all these guys who are playing well and who are healthier than Jordy is right now? Again, obviously the offense is better with Jordy in there, but if he's not 100%, I think, you know, you don't have to worry quite so much in terms of drop-off.
Definitely. Well, let's not get too far away from the actual Cowboy game. We need to put a bow on this by talking about that final play / drive where it just seems like it's a stall. I mean, I can say going into that fourth quarter, everyone that I was watching with, we were feeling real pessimistic, stressing this whole thing. It just felt inevitable that this was going to fall through, especially if it went to overtime. I mean, I don't think the Packers would have won in overtime. But then
I don't either, yeah.
But then that crazy play, Aaron looks like he's just throwing it away, and I think I, along with everyone else in America, thought, oh, yeah, he's definitely out of bounds. And then the beautiful referee comes in. Catch. Oh, Jared Cook.
Yeah, well, yes, he deserves a round of applause for that catch.
I'm standing up. No one can see me. I'm standing up.
Well, yeah, the crazy thing about that is that the headlinesman who was back downfield closer to the line of scrimmage, he came in and said no. The side judge, who was further down the field, like past where Cook caught it, he came running back towards the play, and he overruled him and said he was in. He was right. I said the same thing. Like when Cook caught it, I was like, at the point when you see him, I was like, oh, I think he's out of bounds. But the way he caught it, you know, knowing exactly where he was, basically letting his feet roll, you know, so that he actually touched it with his actual ankles, and then keeping his knees above the ground so that he could catch the ball without being out of bounds. And again, Rodgers freeing that ball into a tight window while rolling to his left, as we see him do so many times. I mean, you know, you can debate who's the best quarterback and all these things, but Rodgers is the best at throwing to his non-dominant hand that I think anybody's ever seen. He makes that look so easy, and he wasn't even set. He was still scrambling as he threw the ball, had enough zip on it to throw it. Basically, well, they threw it from their own 31 to about the Cowboys' 34. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, again, like I said last week, I know we've seen Rodgers do that many times, but that was amazing. Cook making that catch was amazing. And then Mason Crosby, who, as we said, had to make that game-winning field goal not once but twice. And the first time, you know, he hit it pretty solidly, but the second time, boy, I got real nervous because it definitely was not going in at first, and then somehow it straightened, like the ball was like, it looked like it was slicing, and it kind of straightened itself out. And boy, I gotta tell you, me and my friends were going crazy.
It was as dramatic as possible. Oh, the way that kick went in,
it absolutely
and
was.
You can see on the replay, you see behind, like, the Cowboy fans are cheering, and I can rightly so, because the trajectory is obviously off, and then for some reason it hooks right back in.
Yeah, it was kind of a knuckleball of a kick, but yeah, because you can, and if you go back and watch the replay, you can hear there's a lot of cheering at first, and then as it goes, you can hear still a lot of cheering, but not as much. You can, as the Packer fans all celebrate because it hooked itself back in. But
and the Packer fans are everywhere. We're everywhere.
Yeah, that was actually something that Skip Bayless said on Undisputed. He said that he thought there were way too many Packer fans at Texas or at AT&T Stadium yesterday. I'm like, well, you know, there's 100,000 seats. You're gonna have some Packer fans in there. Plus, they always just travel well. But yeah, what a game!
Can we talk about the fact that after the game, Randall Cobb reported that on that final play, Aaron Rodgers literally like assigned routes to receivers like they were playing on the playground, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't call an actual play. He basically just described routes to all the receivers and told them what to do, and it worked. I mean, it worked to perfection. I think it was just because, you know, basically as soon as he got the shot.
If his legend could grow anymore, it just did.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. You know, he drew that play up himself, rolled out to his left. Again, you know, that's not the way you want to roll out if you're a right-handed quarterback, unless your name is Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it's – I don't know what else you can say. It was a thing of beauty. Packers, you know, get the win. Defeat the NFC's number one seed. Move on to Atlanta next week. Just really amazing. And, you know, just a real quick note here. You know, Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant, they all had huge games stat-wise. I mean, Prescott had 300 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, that one pick by Hyde. Elliott had 125 yards on 22 carries, and Dez Bryant had 132 yards and two touchdowns. So really, all the stars for Dallas played well and came through. But the Packers, thanks in part to that early lead they built, and then the persistence of, you know, the execution that Rodgers had during the last drive, they overcame anyway. Even with a defense where they lost Morgan Burnett pretty early on in the game, so they were playing again. Like that had been our healthiest position in the secondary was our safeties, and then we lost one of our starters, and you know, it didn't seem to matter too much. Again, the defense, you know, held them to. I think the biggest thing was the defense holding them to a tying field goal with 30 seconds left instead of a, you know, touchdown to take the lead. Because then the Packers would have been forced to try another Hail Mary, which, you know, has been going good for them recently. But I don't think it's something where you're like, it was funny. One of the guys I was watching the game with was like, well, do we, after the completion to Cook, he was like, do we kick a field goal now or do we try a Hail Mary? I'm like, you crazy? We kick a field goal. Like, I know the Hail Mary isn't working, but I'm going to put Mason Crosby out there and trust him instead of trying to do another Hail Mary, which apparently I was reading in the local paper this morning. Crosby previously was 0 for 4 on game tying or go ahead field goals in the fourth quarter previously in his career, but he made two of them in this game. So good for him. And really just,
it's beautiful. By the way, if you go to our Twitter page at Packers in Law, you can see a video of, you can see a little bit of Aaron to each receiver assigning routes. So it's worth seeing.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So yeah, let's talk about unsung heroes here. Did you have anybody in mind? If you don't, I'll say mine first if you want.
You talk for a little while.
Okay.
I, of course, came prepared and have one. I just want you to go first.
So, right, of course. So my unsung hero, I do have, once again, sort of a cheeky one at first. And that would be Bryce Butler.
Ben McAdoo's mustache still helping us out.
Bryce Butler, the Cowboys receiver who came into the game and was called for probably one of the strangest penalties I've ever seen, the non-participation of a play while being in the huddle penalty, which I've never heard of before, but apparently it's a thing. That brought back a 22-yard completion to Terrence Williams, and the Cowboys eventually punted on that drive. So I just thought that was so weird. I kind of had to give him a nod. But really, my number one unsung hero, the real pick, is Aaron Rodgers' hand strength, because I mean, that play to Cook was great. Don't get me wrong. That was a great throw. But we've seen him do that a lot over his career. But earlier on that sequence, it was first and 10. The Cowboys bring a blitz off the right side or left side of the offensive line, untouched. It was actually the same safety who picked him off earlier in the game. And Aaron Rodgers gets rocked. I mean, he got absolutely blown up. And and Joe Buck, again, called it right away. He said, and Rodgers somehow hangs onto the ball. I don't know how he hung onto that ball. And the thing is, if you watch that replay too, there's another member of the Dallas secondary who is basically in the backfield standing over Rodgers as he goes down. So, I mean, really, if he fumbles that guy is going to be right there and probably scoops it up and, you know, takes it into the end zone. Or even if he doesn't, if Dallas just recovers, they had the ball basically in field goal range, and the game could have been over. So, I mean, that was amazing. Just the fact that he didn't, like, I still, like, watching now, I'm like, I don't know how he doesn't fumble that football. To me, that was the unsung hero. And, of course, you know, that play's going to get glossed over in light of the Cook catch, which, you know, again, that was great. But, you know, if Rodgers doesn't hang on to the ball, maybe the Packers lose. So that's what I'm going to say is the unsung hero is Rodgers' strong hands.
My unsung hero is Aaron Rodgers. Hardly anyone is talking about him, but he played a great game. I mean, just kidding, of course.
which is still
somewhat silly, he didn't have two touchdowns, but I'm going to pick Ty Montgomery. One, because our loyal fans know I'm a huge fan of him, but also his ground game was really pivotal. I mean, it wasn't used a lot, but when it was used, it was incredibly effective. Rutkowski had a few too, but it seemed Ty Montgomery, especially on those two touchdown runs. That's right, Packer fans. We were inside the five, and we ran the ball and got a touchdown.
Shock.
Very odd. And I think that's because Ty Montgomery is gaining more and more and more of the confidence of Mike McCarthy in play calling. It's not over the top. Obviously, we still love the pass, 43 attempts for Rodgers in this game. But I think it was very effective, and it's a huge tool that is also something that we didn't have last time we played Atlanta or Dallas. That and Cook, I think, are two huge tools that will make, obviously made this game different than our first game with Dallas, and I think it'll make our Atlanta game different than our first game with Atlanta.
Yeah, I think Montgomery is really going to play a crucial role in that game next week. Real quick, let's just do overall grades. I'm going to give the Packers an A. I guess, again, like classic, maybe an A-, but again, the defense, even with more injuries, which I know is almost impossible to fathom, but with even more injuries, losing a starting safety, you know, again, yeah, they allowed 31 points, but, you know, they could have let the Cowboys score a touchdown there at the end, but they held them to a field goal, which obviously provided the Packers a chance to go down and win the game. Offense played great in the first half, did enough in the second half. Definitely some not-so-great drives, you know, in between there, but anytime you go on the road and beat the number one seed in their home stadium when you have all those injuries and you're the underdog, I got to give them an A for that.
I'm giving them, yeah, A+. Cowboys are a great team. You beat them at home. You know, I can nitpick all I want. I'm definitely going to give them an A+. I should also say, by the way, gloat a little bit. I got the margin of this game perfectly, and I even said last-second Mason Crosby field goal. So, basically, moral of the story, always listen to me.
So before we talk about the Falcons, Andy, let's quickly do the NFL playoff watch.
Ba-da-bop, ba-da-bop.
Still haven't gotten that letter, ESPN. We're still waiting. So the Patriots, as many people expected, beat the Texans, although Patriots came out and had three turnovers. And really, I was kind of upset watching that game because I thought that any other team, if it had been the Chiefs or the Steelers, they might have actually been able to turn those into more points than the Texans did. But in any case, the Patriots beat them. They will play Pittsburgh in New England.
I was impressed with the Texans, though, overall. They put up a fight, more fight than maybe I thought they would.
Yeah, well, it was 17-13 at halftime, and I was like, wow, I'm sure the Texans, I didn't know if they expected to be the game to be that close. Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was going to be a blowout the whole way, but they gave what they had, you know, despite the fact they're limited a quarterback, but, you know, still ended up losing. So Patriots will go on and play Pittsburgh, who beat the Chiefs in the game last night after the Packer game. So they will play for the NFC title game. And, of course, the Falcons beat the Seahawks in Atlanta, and they will play the Packers in Atlanta for the right to go to the Super Bowl. So talking about the Falcons, it's really a tale of two sides of the ball for them, as it's been all season. Great offense, not a great defense. Offensively, they finished the regular season second overall, third in passing, fifth in rushing, first in points scored per game. Defensively, it goes the other way, 25th overall on defense, 28th against the pass, 17th against the rush, 27th in points allowed. Now, to their credit, their defense did play better over the last three or four games of the regular season and played pretty well last week against really what was kind of an average Seattle offense, but still definitely not their strength. Obviously, it's more on the offensive side of the ball. But I think if Rodgers can play anything like he's been playing against the 28th ranked passing defense, I would say the Packers have a chance to beat this team on the road.
I should say the Atlanta looked real good against.
Oh, they did. I'm not saying this is going to be a cakewalk or anything. Like, Atlanta's a good team, and again, I think, you know, Matt Ryan is probably going to win the MVP award. Maybe Rodgers will finish in second place. I don't know. I guess we'll find out before the Super Bowl. But it's going to be a great offensive showdown in this game. I saw yesterday that the Vegas over-under for this game for scoring total is 60 points. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm betting on that, I take the over.
Absolutely.
If Dallas and Green Bay can go for 30 or for 65 points, I think Atlanta and Green Bay can go for far more than that. But again, you know, again, the biggest matchup in this game, I think, is going to be how well the battered secondary of the Packers, how well they can bend but not break against the Falcons receivers. Again, Julio Jones, he did lead the game against the Seahawks with a hurt foot, but apparently he is A-okay. He's going to be limited in practice, but they said there's no question about him playing. And he actually didn't have a great game, at least by his standards, when they played back in Week 10. But really, it was Mohamed Sanu who kind of stepped up and had a good game. But they have him, and they have a lot of different guys. They still have Taylor Gabriel, who caught a long touchdown against the Packers. He's a really fast receiver. He can, you know, kind of be a sneaky, you know, X factor. And they've been using their tight ends all season too. Austin Hooper, Toy Lolo. But they throw the tight ends occasionally.
I can't help it.
Yeah. But and of course they had the two-headed monster running back. They have Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Now Tevin Coleman did not play in the first game against these two teams, so that could be a huge boon for the Falcons. He can run the ball, but he's also a great receiving running back. So it's going to be up to the linebackers or, you know, maybe the third corner. I imagine the Packers will play a lot, like pretty much like the game against the Cowboys. I would expect them to have, you know, even with the injuries, play a lot of defensive backs. So he could be, you know, someone who gives the Packers trouble if they, you know, aren't able to guard him coming out of the backfield. But again, you could look at the other side of the ball and say, well, the Packers have Jared Cook now, and who they, again, they didn't have last time, and you know, he could be tricky to for the Falcons to account for. But yeah, I think the biggest matchup is still our secondary against a very good Falcons receiving core and against a very good quarterback this year in Matt Ryan. Well, he's been very good for most of his career, but this year especially, he's been great. And I think, you know, that's going to be huge. And again, if hopefully we can contain the running backs, but that's where it's going to come down to, is how our secondary can, you know, stitch itself together and hold back the potent passing offense of Atlanta.
Which seems to be a theme in these playoffs, and I think we can say that's going to be, you know, going forward, that's probably what we're going to see each and every game, is depending on how well the secondary can play despite what seems to be a weakness, which they've been doing now consistently for many weeks, we have more than enough confidence in the offense to get the job done.
Right. And it's like I've been saying, I'm not trying to disrespect Atlanta at all. Again, they're a great team. They beat us already once this year. Granted, that was only by 1 point. Rodgers, again, if all he has to do is keep doing what he's been doing, which he's been doing for 8 games in a row now, really. And I think at this point, I can't see myself picking against the Packers just because who knows? I mean, if I was going to pick against them, it would have been last week when they were playing the number one seed. When you got Rodgers, you just roll the dice and you see what happens.
You heard it here first, folks. Jake thinks Atlanta sucks.
They're the worst. No, they're a good team. They're probably better overall. I mean, their defense is probably better than ours, even though their both defenses are not that great. Although actually, we're much better against the run than they are defensively. So maybe we're better on defense actually. But that's, you know, kind of a ticky-tack, you know, here nor there conversation. But again, I think they can stop. You know, they can stop Freeman, and Freeman and Coleman are both very good. But I would say neither one of those guys is Ezekiel Elliott. There were a couple runs he had in this game yesterday where I was very nervous that he was about to break one, and luckily the Packers, you know, he still would get like 10 or 15 yards, but they were still able to corral him and not let him have a back-breaking, you know, huge run. But I think they have what it takes to stop both of them, and hopefully they have enough to contain Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu and, you know, the cast of thousands that they have at receiver. So, yeah, and you know, Jory coming back, again, we didn't know for sure, but I'm confident with the weapons we have now, especially, again, talking about Jared Cook. It seems like he has really opened up the offense. Receivers are getting more open than they were in the past. And, again, Rodgers is playing out of his mind right now. So I like our chances.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to add to that. It's going to be a shootout even more so than this was. I think the beginning sort of stages is going to really set the table for the game, whether, again, the Packers get off to a hot start and they're able to kind of maintain, or, you know, they're going to have to go and try to catch the Falcons. It's going to be one of those games where, and the Cowboy game felt like this in the first half and then kind of slowed down. It felt like it was just a possession versus possession game, right? Like, if you got, you know, a field goal, that was a loss because the other team was probably going to score a touchdown. I think it's going to have that kind of feel in this game. And I think that favors the Packers because our defense is ever, I think, marginally better at, we've said all season, bending and not breaking.
Right. And yeah, I mean, I could see this game coming down to much like the game against Dallas, where it's basically going to come down to whoever has the ball last is going to make the game-winning play. So hopefully that's the Packers. Or hopefully we're wrong and the Packers just, you know, put up a million points and the defense, you know, suddenly turns into the Iron Curtain and, you know, lets nothing pass them. But I think it's going to be a great game. Lots of points. Like I said, I'm taking the over on that 60-point total. It should be great. I'm excited to watch. And yeah, I think it's going to be an epic NFC Championship game. Andy, do you have a score prediction for this game?
I'm picking the Packers like you. I'm not going to pick against them. 42-35. Packers win.
All right. So a touchdown margin. That's pretty good. I'm going to take, again, like I said, there's no reason to say, oh, I don't know about the Packers now, because who knows? I mean, after that, the way they won against Dallas, I mean, you know, I got to go with my team. I think the Packers win this game 41-34.
41-34. All right. So it's set in stone, everyone. No need to be nervous. Packers are going to win easily. You know, it's just done. We've said it, and so it shall be.
You said 42-35, correct?
42-35. Okay, so, like, we're 1 point different.
I didn't even realize that. Yep. Okay. Well, hopefully, either, you know, even if you're, whether you're right or I'm right, hopefully that's the final score of the game, I'll be happy. So, but yeah, I guess I'll do it for this episode. We get one more episode at the very least, you know, next week, win or lose. So that's exciting. As we always say at the end of these, rate us on iTunes and give us a review. That is always helpful.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter. I didn't do quite as much live tweeting. I did do some thoughts there, but I was pretty absorbed into the game. It was kind of hard to be like, oh, okay, let me go talk about this on my phone. Especially because, you know, I was kind of with friends and I wanted to be present there. But yeah, follow us on Twitter or send us an email, packersinlaw@gmail.com. Look at our Facebook page. I've posted, actually, this last week I've been posting a lot of articles about, there was one article from The Ringer about how Rodgers throws the Hail Mary so much different than anybody else and why it's been so successful. That was pretty interesting. So we post stuff on there. We post injury updates and all that kind of, all those kinds of things. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Smith?
Can we hear that Celine Dion one more time as we go out?
Sure. I can. Yeah, I'll put it in there for us. You know, we can end with that as well.
Let's do it. Have a good week, everyone.
All right, see you.
Let's leave you with this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful audio clip.
All right. See you next week.